News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
But first, the EU has agreed to a 15% tariff with the US after months of tense talks and the risk of 30% tariffs that were due to kick in on Friday. The final terms of the deal were worked out during a meeting between the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen and US President Donald Trump at Turnberry in Scotland on Sunday. The government here is expected to seek firm assurances that the EU-US agreement will spare the pharma sector from tariffs of more than 15%. It is very hard to see how this is anything more than capitulation, that we are now on the particularly sharp end of the stick that has been waved by Donald Trump. Yes, we have avoided 30% tariffs and possibly worse if we didn't engage or dance to his tune. But now we are paying 15% when the Americans exporting into Europe are not going to pay anything at all, very, very little. And it is very, very hard to see how this is anything other than, Mr. Trump, please leave us alone and go away because we can't plan the way that you're going. China stood up and guess what? The Americans are still talking to them. We have done a deal that we don't know the full implications of yet. I mean, the pharmaceutical side of it alone is enough to give pause for thought because Ursula von der Leyen says yes, it's 15% and Donald Trump says no, it's not. So therefore, the negotiation is not over. This deal is not done. There's a top-line deal in place, but the devil in all of these trade negotiations is always going to be in the detail. And I can't help but think at this moment in time that Europe have just gone with this because it means the nasty, scary orange man goes away. And that the nasty, scary orange man can say, it's okay, I've forced Europe into this position. The European Union is one of the biggest trading blocks on the planet. And it is their responsibility on behalf of all of the companies that are trading here to do a good deal, not to do a deal that makes Donald Trump go away, which I can only feel is as far as we've gotten on. So everybody now can go, that's fine. We have our top line. We know what's going to happen. Nothing dramatic is going to happen. The markets aren't going to be spooked. But that's not good for your pocket or mine. It's also not good for the consumers in America who are going to be paying 15% more for the likes of Irish butter, Kerrygold butter or whiskey or whatever the case may be. It's not the other way around. He wants to sell us stuff at 0% tariff, whether we want to buy it or not. Let us know what your reaction is this morning. Did you sleep better last night knowing it's done? I don't think anyone lost any sleep over this anyway, because Trump always chickens out, as we know. If you're working in pharmaceuticals, if you're working in foreign direct investment, are you more placated this morning that this trade deal is going to keep you in a job? Let us know. 087-1400-106. The Brussels Bureau Chief for the New York Times is Gina Smilek. Good morning, Gina.
Good morning.
What is your take on this morning? Is this a deal?
You know, I think it's more of a blueprint than a deal. We don't actually have, you know, a document that says exactly what's in here. I think a lot of the details are still clearly being broken out. And so I think it's pretty clearly a framework, but I think it may be a bit extreme to call it a deal at this point.
Are we placating Donald Trump? Is that what the purpose of this exercise is for the European Union?
It seemed pretty clear yesterday, based on Ursula von der Leyen's meeting with Donald Trump in Scotland, that the EU is really taking pretty serious measures or serious steps in order to make Trump happy. You know, they emphasized over and over again that this was the biggest deal, the biggest deal of all time, which is very much kind of appealing to Trump's love of the superlative. And I think that obviously several of the provisions here, from the investments promised in U.S. energy to investments in U.S. products more broadly, to the 15% tariff, really seem like an effort to sort of basically make Trump happy and avoid an escalation of this situation.
But we had what? About 5% was the average tariff up until this point. There was talk of it going to 30. It's now down to 15. How is that a win for Europe?
Yeah, so I think that when you talk to economists about this, several of them have told me, you know, this is a win relative to what it could have been. I think everybody sort of reset their expectations to a worst case scenario. And Trump had been talking about 25% tariffs, and then he had been talking about 30% tariffs. And 15% is not as prohibitive to transatlantic trade as 30% might be. And it might not be very prohibitive at all if The European Union in the next days and weeks can negotiate a bunch of exemptions. And so I think that's why it's important to emphasize that this is a blueprint and not a set in stone deal. I think the sort of devil's going to be in the details here. If there are tons of exemptions, if this ends up looking like a Swiss cheese trade deal and there are holes all through it, then I think it could end up looking a little bit better for Europe than it does at this current moment.
Yeah. What is to stop Donald Trump unilaterally deciding, actually, no, don't like this deal, I'm pulling out, you've done this, you've done that, and we're back to square one?
I think this is an important point to emphasize, because we've seen this over and over again with these sort of blueprint deals that aren't exactly a deal so much as they are a gentleman's agreement to make a deal, where they are not totally set in stone. We saw that with Vietnam. I think we've seen some shakiness around the Japan deal even. And so I think the question is, you know, does this stick? And then I think the second question is, are important parts of this actually acceptable to the EU at the end of the day? You know, Ursula von der Leyen was quite clear last night that for now, 15% tariffs apply to pharmaceuticals. But once Trump gets through his investigations into pharmaceuticals, it's possible that the global pharmaceutical tariff rate goes up a lot. That would matter hugely for Ireland, but it would matter hugely for all of Europe, because pharma is actually the number one export category to the United States. And so, you know, big questions still loom here.
Yeah. So in other words, if we're looking for certainty, we didn't get it yesterday.
No, certainly not. I think and you can see that very clearly in sort of the business group statements about this. I think they're reacting with what some are calling cautious optimism, but there's clearly still a lot of apprehension about what the final details are going to look like here.
Okay, Janice Malik of the New York Times, the Brussels bureau chief. Thank you very much for that. Dan O'Brien, chief economist at the Institute of International European Affairs and columnist with The Currency. Morning, Dan.
Good morning, Jonathan.
I used the analogy earlier. I was going to punch you in the face, but now I'm only going to punch you in the stomach. I can't move past it.
I think I'm thinking of Pulp Fiction, the movie, when the boxing promoter tells the guy who's supposed to go down to the third round, don't let pride mess with you. and it's important that we don't let our pride. There's a lot of dented pride out there in Europe today. We feel like a sort of vassal in front of the emperor, and there's a lot of that feeling around there in Europe today, and I can understand that. But we need to get beyond that, okay? Yesterday, von der Leyen's statement almost from the get-go mentioned NATO. There's an understanding here that we are highly dependent on the US for our security at a time when there's a war in Europe, and that has to be factored in. And clearly, the European side has said, we do not want to get into an escalated trade war with our most important trading partner and the country that guarantees our security at a time of war. So the Europeans have swallowed a lot of pride here. They've given Trump largely what he wants. And there is a hope that this will put a base under it. He can declare victory. This will not be too damaging to Europe. Thankfully, from an Irish perspective, this is what we really wanted. We, of all countries, did not want an escalation in this. So from an Irish perspective, if this holds, this is as good as it's going to get. Yeah, it hurts the pride, but, you know, don't let pride mess with you.
Dan, I'm not an economist. I've studied economics in secondary school. But if we basically pay 0% tariffs on U.S. imports to EU countries, and EU countries face a 15% tariff into the U.S., that's a one-sided deal.
Yeah, it is. It's bad for our producers, but let's remember, it's bad for American consumers. The upside on this side of the Atlantic is that our consumers are not going to be paying extra tariffs. Tariffs are dumb. Okay, they don't make any sense. This whole thing that Trump's got into is tariffs everywhere for unclear reasons that affect Americans in many ways negatively. We've decided, no, we're not going to add taxes on our consumers on this side. And there's an upside to that. It means that we're not going to get an inflationary effect. Our businesses here that are importing from America are not going to have to pay extra taxes. And that's not a bad thing. Now, in standard trade diplomacy, you hit back because you believe that if you hit back, the other side won't hit you again. But with this current U.S. administration, all of that kind of goes out the window because it's not a rational game here. So I think what the Europeans have done is swallowed their pride, and we hope for the best that this puts a line under this whole thing, the U.S. side sticks to the deal. As your previous speaker said, there is a possibility that that won't happen. And there's also a specific possibility that the issue of pharmaceuticals will come back into play. Now, what we got today, for the first time, incredibly important for Ireland, was some sort of baseline tariff on pharmaceuticals, which is our biggest export to the United States. If that can hold 15%, it's not good, but it's certainly better than sort of talk of 200% tariff. If that can stick, that is particularly important. So we need to watch that one closely.
So the Irish government presumably will be happy that there's a little bit of certainty here. But I'd imagine if I was a farmer who provides milk that makes Kerrygold that is exported, I'm going to be less happy about this because there's a possibility that I'll be selling less butter, we'll be selling less whiskey, we'll be selling a lot less into the US based on the fact the consumer has to take the hit there.
Yep, it's bad for European and Irish producers. That's how it is. The Americans are putting up tariff barriers. That's going to be bad for our businesses on this side. Let's just look at the slightly more positive. Because Europe has decided not to retaliate, our consumers are not going to be affected. And you can look at that as a sort of a positive out of this, provided it all sticks.
Mm. Well, it'll have to stick, because otherwise this has been a go on the roller coaster we could have done without. The bottom line here, though, Dan, is we need economic stability. We need to make sure we can plan for whatever happens next, whether that is an escalation of a war in the Middle East or indeed an escalation of the war between Russia and Ukraine, possibly taking in some NATO countries. Are we a little bit closer to that stability after this? And is that perhaps what the European Union was gambling upon?
Well, I think very much so, because this was, you know, there was a choice either to go head to head and risk going into a full scale, not just a trade war, but Europe was going to could have expanded this into other areas like services, and we get into a full scale economic war with the United States, which economically and from a security perspective would be very bad. The decision has clearly been made. Although some governments seem to be unhappy with it, but the big guns, particularly in Germany, seem to accept it. That this is the right course of action at this point, and let's try this sort of placatory route with Trump, and hopefully we can draw a line under it. Let me also just add that I think it is important. 2 weeks ago, we had a salvo of warnings out of the U.S. specifically towards Ireland on the implications of the Occupied Territories Bill. That is something we need to watch very closely, specifically for Ireland. The U.S. has a lot of things it can do to countries that boycott Israel, and that has been explicitly threatened. And that is another risk that hangs over the whole transatlantic relationship between Ireland and the U.S., and that's something we need to watch closely as well.
Finally, Dan, what do you think the Chinese will make of all of this? They're back negotiating with the Americans again. He's back down on those Chinese tariffs more than once, particularly when the bond markets got spooked. Will the Chinese be cursing the Europeans for having done what they've done?
No, I don't think that. I don't think the Chinese will be looking at this particularly closely. I think they're going to be looking much more closely at what they've got a lot of problems at home, as well as their own bilateral turmoil with the US. So I don't think the Chinese are going to be looking at the EU deal too closely. Mm.
And of course, one last thing. Northern Ireland now has a 10% tariff with the US. The Republic of Ireland has a 15% tariff. Are we going to see a lot of stuff moving north of the border to be exported?
Yeah, that is a real head wrecker, Jonathan. Nobody, you know, when all of this happened, when the whole Brexit thing, as we know, took years and years, and how that all played out, and then there wasn't an anticipation that was going to be this kind of different changes between the US and the UK, US and the EU. So this just further complicates the whole arrangement with Northern Ireland, and frankly, I haven't even begun to get my head around that.
Better for Bushmills than Jemison, one might argue. We'll leave it there for now. Dan O'Brien, Chief Economist of the Institute of International European Affairs and columnist with The Currency. Thanks very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.